Larry Weber is an author, an educator, and a naturalist, and he joins us every single Friday right here on Backyard Almanac. Larry, good morning.
Good morning, good morning. How are you doing on this terrific weekend?
Oh, it is going to be a nice weekend, too.
Yeah, it sounds like from the forecast we're going to get kind of seasonal but weather in the 70s and the high and the low in the 50s, and it's also going to be sprinkled with a little bit of rain. Since we last spoke, there's had so many things have happened. I'll start by taking a look back at June. It's, you know, here we are in the month of July right now. We are more than halfway through the year. Well, it turns out that June was just a little bit warmer than normal. We spoke last week on Friday. Well, Saturday was quite a warm day, and we had an average temperature for the month just a little bit above normal, about 1 degree above normal. Precipitation-wise, we were a little bit low, about a half inch less than normal. Now, once again, since we spoke last time, we had a couple of terrific storms at my house here. We had a beautiful storm that came through on a Sunday, followed by another one on Monday. The one on Monday was just incredible. The clouds were so thick, it was like darkness at noon. And then it was followed by lightning, thunder, and plenty of hard rain, and we had a good amount of hail. The hail, dime-sized hail, just covered the ground, almost made it look like we had a snowstorm. So quite a beautiful storm. The two together gave us an inch and a half of rain, but like I said, you put all that together, and it's not the same everywhere. Weather Service in Duluth did not record that much, and so the Weather Service recorded about one-half inch less than normal for the month of June. But we did get plenty of rain, and we did get plenty of responses to that. Now, July is our hottest, statistically our hottest month. If we're going to get to 90 degrees any time in the Northland, it happens in July. There have been years where we've never gotten even to 80 degrees, but I don't expect that this time around. It is the time when we get the heat. We also get more thunderstorms, so we will be seeing both, it sounds like, from the forecast. We are getting now, the days after the solstice are starting to get shorter. You don't notice it much yet in the sunsets. The sunsets are still after 9 o'clock, but I've already noticed it with the sunrises. We are 6 minutes behind what we were a few weeks ago, 6 minutes later, and that's going to continue as we go through July. Later in the month, we will notice it more. We are also at an interesting time, a full moon in the east. A couple nights ago, I was up to see the full moon rising in the east, and then taking it around and taking a look to the west. We have both the planets Jupiter and Venus, two of our brightest planets, right next to each other. And two nights in a row, it was just quite a spectacle in the west. As the days go on, they will separate again pretty much. But all, beautiful thing to see. I mentioned the full moon. This is a month where we're going to have two full moons. We'll have another one again at the end of the month. So we'll have a blue moon at that time. The shorter days are bringing about responses. Probably in the world of birds, the biggest responses is those birds that were singing so much earlier in June are starting to sing a little bit less. There's still plenty going on there, but it's a little bit less. The babies are being raised. Fledglings show up. I always think of July as the month of fledglings. Many of these fledglings are hopping out of the nest and becoming a young adults, and we start hearing their family units and so forth start moving around in the trees. But this is happening now in June, and I saw some active nests this week, but I also saw the fledglings this week. Same thing is true with the small mammals. Right now I have young chipmunks in the yard, I have little squirrels in the yard, rabbits, all these things showing the sign of the seasons are moving along. There's even, as we get later into the month, we will even see some early migrants. The tree swallows are lined up getting ready to migrate, usually during the second half of July. I saw yesterday, while out on a walk, I came across a grouse family. The grouse live on the ground, and the babies stick around with mother, but when they get disturbed, like when I came by yesterday, that kind of scatters the family. But they do get back together after that. In the world of frogs, we are getting a lot of crawling still going on from the gray tree frogs of the spring, but the other two of note, and I heard them again this morning when I was walking, are the the green frog and the mink frog, and they will continue to call throughout the month. There are summer frogs. Meanwhile, the ones like the wood frog and the chorus frog and the spring peeper, American toad, that all bred earlier in the season, they are now having their babies growing up, and the babies go through the tadpole stage, and then they develop the legs. Soon they will be losing their tail and coming up on land, and that usually happens starting around the middle of the month. Start seeing these tiny toads and frogs. But that's going on now. Other things of note going on, July is the month of diversity and high population of butterflies. And yes, if the flowers are in bloom, and there's plenty of them in bloom, the butterflies will be showing up as well. We usually think in terms of the large butterflies like the monarch and the swallowtails and some of the fritillaries and so forth, the very colorful ones. But yesterday when I was out on a walk, I came across three different kinds of butterflies that are all brown. One called, they have beautiful names, one's called the Little Wood Satyr, another one called the Northern Pearly Eye, and the third one called a Ringlet. These are all brown butterflies, but they're still butterflies. There is another one around I mentioned last week, the black wings with the light white stripes through them called the White Admiral. That one's around right now, too. And then we have plenty of the other smaller ones, the little butterflies called skippers, little orange butterflies called skippers. Dragonflies, still good diversity. I see a little bit of a change from what we had a couple weeks ago, but we still have a lot of dragonflies out there. Dragonflies are predators, mostly feeding on other insects. They have been nicknamed mosquito hawks because they will feed on mosquitoes. So we usually appreciate dragonflies. The other one we really appreciate is fireflies, and fireflies are out. Last night I saw them already before 10 o'clock. And if you have a chance to get out and take a look in an area where there's tall grasses, they do best in the tall grasses, get out and take a look. Boy, I tell you, I've never met a person who doesn't like fireflies. They are just wonderful to watch. Cicadas are calling in the trees. We have only two kinds of cicadas in our area. The first one is calling. The second one hasn't started yet, but I expect them probably within another week. Grasshoppers, crickets, katydids are all growing in the grasslands. We'll see more of them a little bit later. And, of course, there's plenty of spider webs out there, too. Now, I got to talk about some of the real important plant things that happened this past week. As we get into July, there are several plants that I always look for along the roadsides. One of them is the black-eyed Susans. Yes, they started to bloom. Another one is sunflowers. I found, yes, two kinds of them in bloom. Another one is evening primrose. Yes, they are in bloom with their yellow four-petaled flowers. And the two that really, I think demand the attention along the roadside are fireweed and milkweed. And they both started to bloom this past week as well. Now, it's unfortunate they have the suffix of weed because neither of the two are alien or what we would call a weed. They are native. They are purple. They're just great to see. And if you have a chance to get out anywhere and take a look, they are almost always going to have plenty of insects around them. We think of milkweed. We think of the monarch butterfly. And so that's a good important part of it. Other things of note, there are two kinds of orchids that came across this past week. One of them, the showy lady slipper, is our state flower, and yet I would think most of us in the state have not seen it in the wild. Well, where I was last weekend, they were up in the Sac-Zim area. They were quite plentiful and quite showy. They're living up to their name. Large, big, pink, white flowers. And then I, during my walking since then, I found another one in the woods. A very small one, just the opposite, just to show us the diversity of orchids. That was the spotted coral root, and they were blooming as well. So, yeah, there are still plenty of orchids out there. The hawkweeds that were so colorful along roadsides just a couple weeks ago are now turning to seed, and they have seed fluffy seeds, a lot like that of the dandelion, so you don't see the yellows and the oranges quite as much. And then, Lisa, berry season has begun. I mentioned last time about the wild strawberries. Well, the domestic strawberries are going to be starting to pick very soon, too. Red elderberries are out there in good numbers, and yesterday I found the first ripe blueberry out there. So, yes, the berry season has begun. The mushroom season has also begun thanks to the recent rains. And I mentioned last time about coral fungus. Yes, they're still there in the woods, but I also found a few mushrooms this week. So, yeah, Lisa, it's going to be a good weekend to get out and take a look at all this wonderful stuff we have around here. So get out and enjoy it.
Larry, I have to tell you that I spotted something that I don't normally see. And it stood out to me as being very significant. On my social media feed, I saw a photograph that said, Third Annual Bog Bio Blitz Fearless Field Trip Leaders Sac Zim Bog. And there on the left was this fella in a cap, bearded, binoculars around his neck. And I thought, my heavens, that's a sighting of the rare Larry Weber.
Well, what's rare about it is that you hear my voice and never see my face. So.
You've got to tell me quickly.
That was last Saturday, and yes, I participated in the bio blitz. The term bio blitz needs to be explained a little bit. The blitz part of it means that it's done in quite a hurry, quite a rush. That has kind of changed over the years, but the what we try to do is take a survey of an area. And the beautiful part that I like about it is that you meet with all these people who are so-called experts in various fields, and they all go off and do their thing, and then they come back a few hours later and talk about what they find. And boy, I tell you, it really is an eye-opening experience of what is in an area. The Sac Zim region is the boglands that are north of Duluth, west of Cotton and Canyon in a region there that can easily get overlooked by those driving by on 53. But it is quite a significant place, and it's getting more and more attention that it long deserved. And we're finding all kinds of terrific things there. And like I was saying, the showy lady slippers were probably the big discovery of the week. So, yes, that's the bio blitz that happened. There are bio blitzes every year in some places.
Well, that and the sighting of the camera-shy Larry Weber, it was kind of a cool thing. Larry, thanks so much for joining us, as always.
Yeah, well, take care. Enjoy the weekend.
You too. Larry Weber, an educator, author, naturalist, and when he's not ducking the camera, he joins us every Friday for Backyard Almanac.